Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
Wasn't that awesome? That right there, you could tell. I mean, his presence is always here. But sometimes there is just another almost level to his glory that we get to experience unbeknownst to us, and it just shows up. Those, our worship now is always amazing and free, but back in the day, those moments happened a little bit more frequently. Like, we'd be intending to do some sermon time, but all of a sudden, Spirit comes, and then we're like singing the same song for like 45 minutes and just getting lost in it. But it's not that in that time goes quick. When we were singing that song over and over again, it was almost never enough to say that word over and over again, Yeshua. It's like the nicest tasting thing that you can say, Yeshua. Isn't it beautiful? Yeshua. I don't know. I mean, we've all heard a little bit of Hebrew before, but if you listen to a lot of Hebrew, it can be like a rough language. You know, there's a lot of, and there's a lot of this and a lot of that. And when they're talking, they're really getting animated. But when you hear the sweetest sound in Hebrew, Yeshua. And there's some other beautiful words, amuna, faith. But nothing like the sound of Yeshua's name. Yeshua. In the Hebrew, they would say, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. Ooh. And he is the Messiah. He's the one that they talked about in the Old Testament, that they would hear about every Shabbat when they went to the synagogue. They would hear about a day coming when Mashiach would come. And today we're going to talk about that day, when Mashiach came in the flesh. The most beautiful thing that has ever happened. Changed history. It's beautiful. Wow. So when you're in that place, it's like, woo, there's a heaviness, there's an awesomeness to it. But today, yes, we're going to have fun today, though. We're going to have fun. Guess what we're going to talk about? We're going to talk about the Christmas story again. But it's awesome. And it's beautiful, and we get to do it. We don't have to do it. We get to do it here today. So, Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for all that you are doing and all that you have done. We thank you that you have opened up. You have opened heavens that we get to access with you because of what your Son did for us on the cross, that we get to have communion with you. We get to have relationship with you, and we get to speak to you, and we also get to hear your voice. You get that? You get to hear his voice. He wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to you today. But you can say, Pastor Caleb, I'm nobody special. Guess what? In the scheme of things, nobody special. But he loves us nonetheless. And he wants to speak to you just as much as he wants to speak to somebody that you think is so awesome. He wants to speak to you just as much. Amen. So, as we come to the conclusion of our message series, All I Want for Christmas is the Fruit of the Spirit. And our key verse for this series has been Galatians 5, 22 through 23, where it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. I'm just letting that patience thing work that in for you all, guys. Then the next one, you guys should have worked with me because it's kindness. You got to work along. And goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against what? Such things there is no law. Today's message, as we conclude, I've called it faithfully kind. Usually I have an awesome kind of title. This one is cool too, but it's not as this is like to the point. Faithfully kind. And if you haven't guessed it yet, the fruits we're going to be talking about today is faithfulness and kindness. In our key verse for today, and we'll get to why this is so important, is Luke 2, verse 12. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger. You will find a baby. If you do have your Bibles, I would highly recommend underlining the wills in that. This will be a sign for you. This, and you will find a baby. When God says it, it's going to come true. The promises he said will come to pass. I'm not saying that I know exactly when it will come to pass, but I know for sure that it will. So when they heard this, and when you see the will, that will is an assurance that it will happen. This will be a sign for you. You will see this sign. And when you do, you will find the baby wrapped in cloth in the manger. Could you guys open, please, to Luke chapter 2. Here we go. And we're going to start at verse 8, and we're going to go to the end. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over the flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terribly frightened. But an angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people." Not just some peeps, for all the people. For today, when? Today, in the city of David, what's happened there? There has been born for you a Savior who is, and right there, that is, this is who it is, Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, and you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared the angel and a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They knew right away. It wasn't somebody else. It wasn't something else. It was the Lord who had made it known to them. They knew it was God who was speaking to them. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in a manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things that were told to him by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. This is my shepherd's sticky. What does faithfulness and kindness have to do with this story? If you can imagine, these shepherds were out in the field by night, standing there watch. And, they're looking around for danger. And they do it every night. It's kind of a thankless job, Like Pastor Hannah was talking about last week, the shepherds weren't really seen as these great people. They were just simple country bumpkin type of things. You know what I mean? And when you think about like the wise men, they were wise men. They came from upper echelon. They were elite. They knew. They were educated. They were all that. But these guys were shepherds. And they did this every night, their whole lives. And they started when they were young. It wasn't like it was, they knew it and they were doing it every day. And I could just imagine them sitting there, not knowing that this was about to happen, but just another night. This is just another night that I'm going to go through. This is not just another day that I got to go to work and do what I got to do. And who knows what was going on in their lives. But they hadn't seen the Savior yet. And there had been a period of time since Revelation had come in the Bible. And it was just a period of just like, God, when? We hear the stories every Shabbat about how you're going to bring a Savior to the world. And just think of how desperate they might have been. And you're just sitting there. And all I can remember, all I can think about is that song, O Come Emmanuel. Because there's a desperation in that. Could you just imagine these shepherds looking over their flock and just like looking up into the sky and saying, God, I don't know if I can do this. Come, Emmanuel. Won't you come? Then out of nowhere, the angel appears to them and they were terrified. Which is crazy. But not out of sorts, because every time an angel appears to somebody in the Bible, it's actually they were a little less, because normally they said they fall down as dead. They're like freaking out and laying down on the ground. They were terrified, and they get this message. The one you've been looking for has come. I don't know where you're at today, but the one you're looking for has come. He has come. It's the beauty of Christmas. He has come. And then they go and see him. But how does faithfulness and kindness have anything to do with this? What is faithfulness? What is kindness? Faithfulness is to remain loyal and steadfast. And kindness is the quality of being friendly, generous, and considerate, and awesomely tenderness. This story tells us that God kept his promise. He remained faithful to the promises he made in the past. And he showed his kindness to us by doing so, because he didn't have to. We didn't deserve it. But throughout history, he promised one day a Savior would come. Despite who you are and how you've been and what you've done, I promise I'm going to bring a Savior someday. And I did. Why? Because I love you. Even though you didn't deserve it, I'm showing my kindness to you. It's a simple thing, but an amazing thing. I know for myself, I was thinking this Christmas, I didn't want to get caught up in the gifts and the things like that. I want to make Christmas always special, whether like gifts come or not, because that's not what they're about. I mean, yes, I like that stuff, and anybody who's honest is going to say I like getting gifts when I wake up in the morning. But I want to be just as eager to wake up early on that morning, even if I know no physical gifts are coming, because I understand that the true gift was already given. And I want to be excited for that. He is faithful. He is faithful. It's the greatest example of his faithfulness. I told you I would do it, and I did. And you can see him. It's an awesome example of his kindness, because he showed it to us when we didn't deserve it. He showed us kindness, and it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 10, "For while we were yet enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, and much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." His faithfulness and his kindness, the greatest example of those two fruits of the Spirit. Now that you've experienced, now that you've come and had your Christmas morning or your Christmas night, your Christmas experience, when you see Jesus, what now? What now? Because that's not the be-all and end-all of things. That's just the beginning of your life with him. Once you've experienced, once you have seen him, what now? I have written down here, fruit is only good if you eat it. Fruit is only good if you eat it. Once you've experienced his kindness, his faithfulness, what now? What does that mean for you? Is it something you just keep to yourself? Is it a fruit you just have on the shelf and you just sit there and you don't eat it? Nat will tell you, when she gets me stuff for Christmas, I tend to keep it. Oh, I had fruitcake for the first time the other day. Remember when I preached a couple weeks ago, I said I'd never had fruitcake in my entire life, and I was like, I wonder how it tastes. Well, Leah, she got me fruitcake, and they made me try it because they knew I would just keep it, and like I would, for some reason, I just keep things. It's like as if I'm not going to get any more, but I really like it. People are like, what? I really do. I love it. Fruit is no good for you if you don't eat it. You can see in the lives of the shepherds when they came to and they experienced him for the first time and they saw him. They just didn't keep quiet. They went and told the world. And I like how earlier Pastor Hannah was talking about give thanks to God with what you have now, the gifts. These guys didn't know they were going to experience God for the first time that night. So the only thing they could give to him is what they had seen and received from the angel. And they told Jesus' mom. That's all they had. You may be sitting here today and say, Jesus, I see you now. I have nothing to give. Nothing for you. You are enough. And he's pleased with you. And even if you can only say, Jesus, thank you, that is enough. that is enough for him. Jesus, thank you. I see how you're faithful. And I see your kindness now. And now that you've given him your gifts, we can remain faithful to him by trusting in him, following him, and we can show the world kindness by going to tell the world about him, just like the shepherds did that night. It was the first thing they did after they left. They went praising and glorifying God. It was a little short message today. But I want to say something before we go. I don't know about you guys, but I want to show my faithfulness to God by, in everything that I do, believe in him, and I am faithful to him in every aspect of my life the best that I can be. But I know it's by his grace that I am. My thought life, my heart life, my actions, and all those things can go astray if they're not him guiding me. And it's dependence on him every day. So that's how you do it. That's how you remain faithful to him, is by saying, God, I need you. I'm depending on you to get me through this. I'm depending on you to make, so I am faithful to you. I'm depending on you to make my mind right. I'm depending on you to make me say the things that I'm supposed to say and act the way I'm supposed to be. And the fruit of the Spirit is not something you work it up. It's the something that you receive to give out. It's the fruit you receive and you eat and you give. And to show the world kindness. I want to show the world kindness, but not just the people who are nice to me, because that's an easy thing to do. It's the people that we get to show kindness that were not nice to us, that did it knowing that they were being mean to us. We've all experienced somebody doing something just because they wanted to do it to you. But it's doing that and knowing that, but still having kindness. And showing it to them, because God did the very best thing, because we were that person that were doing things to him. That's why it says in verse 10, we were enemies to him. But even at that point, when we were at the worst of our life, he loved us and shown us kindness. So we are to go out and not just keep this to ourselves, but show the world faithfulness to God, what that looks like in our lives, and a kindness to the world by going to reach the least of these who are not nice, but showing love and kindness. And one last thing before we go. Remember the persecuted church. You're like, whoa, what's this have to do with anything I just talked about? I don't know, but it was on my heart to say. Remember, there are brothers and sisters all around this world who believe in Jesus, who have given their lives, their hearts, and their souls to him as their Lord and Savior. But they don't get to do what we're doing here this morning. And as we end up the year and we come out of this Christmas season, there are brothers and sisters just like us who love us just the same, that don't get to do what we get to do here, but they love him. And I just want you guys to remember them in your prayers this week. Remember them in your prayers. God, we just thank you now for our brothers and sisters who are all around the world that don't get to do what we get to do here. And we just remember them now. And we say, God, bless them right now. God, just grow your church all over this world. Let everybody have their Christmas night. There are shepherds of people who don't know you. But tonight, you are calling them to see the Christ child for the first time. God, we just thank you for it. And as we close, you guys all may rise. This may be the first time that you've seen Jesus. Somebody's told you about him, just like the angels told the shepherds. And now you've come and now you've seen. And now you're calling upon his name. This is an awesome opportunity for you to do so. Call upon his name and get born again. Be saved because of his faithfulness and his kindness towards you. It is the kindness of God that leads people to repentance. It's, God, I know I'm all messed up, but your kindness shows me that I can come to you. And that is what makes me want to repent. That was what makes me want to come to you. It's the kindness of God that leads somebody to repentance. And if that's you today, bless you in the name of Jesus and welcome to the family of God. It says, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Mm-hmm. And now I just bless you with the Holy Spirit to show you divine love with a joy that overflows, a peace that subdues, a patience that endures, a kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit. God, we thank you for today. Bless us with all this and more, because you are so awesome, you are so great, you are so faithful, and you are so kind. Thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.